If you're thinking about moving abroad, regardless of the country that you're moving to, could be Portugal, could be Italy, could be who knows where, some people think that they have to make the choice now or they might not ever have the chance. So is it truly a now or never? For some people, it could be. But let's just jump straight into the episode and roll that intro. Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Furia, and over the years, I've mentioned that I do think that there are times that I think are better for a person to move abroad. Some of them are a little bit more situational based, and some of them are a little bit more towards what stage in life that the person is actually at. And this episode, I really want to focus on kind of the generalized stages. Oh no, he's going to make some generalizations in 2023. Can you believe it? No, oh, can't be true. Yes, this is going to be happening. So if you're not a fan of generalizations, then maybe this channel actually isn't for you in general. Although now thinking about that, that actually is another generalization in and of itself. But let's just jump straight into this. I think in life, there are certain times when you have more flexibility and more options that are available in front of you. The first stage in life, and I'm going to take this in order. I think, like I said, there are certain stages in life and there are certain kind of circumstances in life that will kind of lend themselves more towards an easier time moving abroad, or maybe it being the right time. And of course, these are just my opinions. This is not written in stone here. Just what I've seen seems to work better for people over my almost 15 years abroad. This first stage that I'm going to talk about is partially situational, but also stage in life. And also, I would say, just an extra caveat on top, it's dependent on where in the world you're talking about. And this first one is when you are in your, say, late teens, early 20s, when you're looking at studying in university abroad. I think it could be worthwhile having a little bit of space between the end of high school and the beginning of university. I don't think that's the worst thing. I mean, for some people that works great, for others, maybe not so much. And it's maybe just great to just get straight into your furthering your education. And actually in some fields, it's probably better to do, especially if you have to study for a longer time, such as like in medicine. Different topic for a different day. When we're talking about this stage in life, when you are just moving into what is going to be your path, your direction, this is potentially also one of the most difficult times, but also one of the most exciting times to start thinking about it. I'm not saying that you should or that you shouldn't, but I do think it's one of the better times when we're talking about kind of over the course of a person's life. But one of the reasons why I said that it's partially location dependent has to do with, because you're starting out at such an early stage, you haven't necessarily built up wealth or built up any type of foundation underneath you. Maybe you're in a different type of situation, and maybe you have been very fortunate to actually get that far in life where you've got a nice cushion, so to speak, underneath you. But for the vast majority of people, when we're talking about going and studying, this can, in some countries, actually position you in a very interesting way for a visa later on. If you've gone, you've studied, you're having some minimal experience in your area, and that, in some cases, when you have a job lined up after the fact, and you can get that job to sponsor your visa, which is, depending on the country, becoming more and more difficult these days, but it still exists. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I'm also not saying that going this route guarantees you the path to stay there. Of course, as I've said many times, being a dual citizen and going to one of your countries, or multinational, to tri-citizen, quadra-citizen, that can set you up in a very interesting way to really have a solid foundation there. And if you're not, and you are going to a country where you can get the visa after the fact, then you are coming in at a time in your life where you are still kind of figuring out who you are, what you like, what your interests are, what works for you in life, what doesn't work for you in life. I'm not speaking about anything specific. I'm just talking about, again, very general. What are the things? Do you like cappuccino? Do you hate coffee? Do you like white chocolate? Do you like dark chocolate? Do you need a very quiet space to sleep in? Or can you sleep in the middle of a construction zone? These are all things that you are starting to figure out what your comfort levels are. And at this point in your life is also when certain influences are going to kind of shape some direction that you may go in. Not for everybody, but I do think it is a very fair statement to say it is a time in your life that does kind of help guide the direction that you go in. And when you can go to a new country, and especially if you're starting to speak the language and get in contact with locals and make local friends and have people around you and have a social circle. And this is a time in your life where you are starting to set some good roots, potentially. And not everybody's going to be able to do this. Again, this is generalizations that I'm talking about. But this is an opportunity, rather, I should say, that you have during this time in your life to set some really interesting roots that a person that maybe, for example, say, moves in their late 20s, early 30s, 50s, 60s, 70s won't have. If you are able and ready, and of course, so many people in that time of their life aren't sure what they're going to do for the rest of their life, but if you have the ability to invest yourself that early on, you often can get to know that country in such a different way than anybody else might be able to. But also, of course, we're talking about an individual who maybe doesn't have children. For an individual at that point in life who does have children, moving abroad, of course, could present more problems. Whether they're a single parent or they're in a relationship, when you're at that early of a stage in your life and you do have a child, personally, I would say, especially if you do have a relationship with your family or your spouse's family or your partner's family, however, whatever terminology you want to use, that is a good time in your life and your child's life, especially to give them a bit more of a solid foundation. When you are living abroad, there are a lot of risks involved. And I'm not saying not to move abroad with children. However, I do think there's a certain stage in life where it makes more sense. And so the next stage that I'll talk about is an individual who's already finished university and is able to get a visa sponsored through work, whatever it may be. Maybe they're working in an office or they're doing this or they're doing that. You're still at a stage where you're able to get your life set up. You're not going to necessarily be in the same position from a cultural sense as the person who's gone to university in your country and gone through all of that and gone through the system, so to speak, gone through the educational system and had the chance to really kind of be pushed into things. I've mentioned in a number of episodes that I do believe that when you are studying abroad, you are living in a bubble. But at the same time, there are certain aspects of living in that country that you will get that a person, again, later on, even at this very next stage, won't have experienced, and that you'll be able to share with others who have been there. And maybe if you've already been there for a few years and had to study in that language, linguistically, you're going to have been potentially very exposed to what you're going to need on a day-to-day basis. And that can be a huge advantage. So this person who's in that next stage, they've already finished university. Maybe they've studied the language at a university level. They're still not going to have the same usage of the language necessarily as somebody who's been living there. Granted, some people could, but often the language that you learn in a book versus what is actually spoken on the street can differ greatly. But at this stage in your life, maybe you've already done some of the kind of the jobs that maybe are just the first initial stages into your career that will kind of get you the experience that you need so you can get the better jobs. And maybe you'll be able to move to another part of the world where you'll be getting that visa sponsored and be able to live decently. Because this is another thing when you're moving abroad. Getting a job is not the easiest thing. I don't necessarily recommend moving abroad without knowing what you're going to do financially. That can be very difficult. And to kind of wing it, even if you do, say, have like a TEFL certificate or any other type of certificate that will say that you are certified to teach English, that is not always going to be a guarantee that you're going to be able to find work or work that you're willing to do or interested in doing. Sometimes you may have to work with children or adults, and some people don't like working with one, but they like working with the other. Or you might have to travel 20 kilometers each direction and cross your city 50 times, taking 20 subways to get from one company to another company if you're doing business English. And that can eat up your whole day. And then you get home 11 at night. You're fried. So even this kind of extends not only to the stage of life where you've already finished university, but even into, say, like your mid-20s, late-20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. But when the later we get on in these stages in life, we're also talking about, again, children being a potential aspect of what you may have to take into consideration. I think by the time that you're really kind of looking in that mid-30s kind of range or later, and your children are still young, I think that's also another very interesting opportunity to move abroad. The reason why I say this is because, in my opinion, based on what I've personally observed as someone without children, but with friends who have children, and again, having been abroad as long as I have, and in different countries as well, there are certain patterns that I've noticed, and I've also read studies on this, and so I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I'm saying my opinion is something that I feel quite confident in, that when your children start getting to those teen years, that transition abroad can be more and more difficult. They've been maybe in the same city their entire schooling, or maybe they've moved a couple of times, but they've still always been within what is culturally familiar. When you're moving to another country, you're throwing yourself and your family into a whole completely different situation. I've also heard from friends and read studies on this as well, is that there is a difference, in horrible thing in 2023 to mention any differences between boys and girls, but it seems as though in a general sense that maybe it could be that young men actually have a more difficult time transitioning into a life abroad in those teenage years, let's say from about 14 to 18, than maybe a young woman in that same age range. And even to an extent, I might say that for young men, it could even go a little bit younger. We're talking maybe 12 or 13. In some ways, the younger that you can move your children abroad, the more it will help them to be able to settle in, and the more advantages that it will give them also throughout their schooling experience. The younger you are, the easier it will be to pick up a language, and then also even culturally, they're just going to be steeping in this. Well, of course, this is assuming if you are sending your children to a kind of local school and not an international school. I have plenty of opinions on international schools and why, if I had children, I personally wouldn't send my children to international schools. For some people, it does work, and I see the reasoning that they have there, but personally, I don't think that it's the best choice. Although I will say, from an academic standpoint, in some cases, it actually can be the better choice. But if we're talking about actually living abroad, and you're thinking that maybe this place that is a country that you would actually want to stay in long term, and you want your children to have the best opportunities, I think the earlier that they can be there, the more easy that will make their lives moving forward, and even potentially setting their own kind of very strong roots within that country. And even from a cultural standpoint, it might not be as difficult for them to transition at an earlier stage than it will be later, because if you grow up with certain things around you, this is all you're going to know. Okay, maybe you're going to be the weird foreign family, but if they have access to, say, going to public school and interacting with others their age, they're going to get certain parts of the language that maybe they'll hear from their friends and start having more of that identity from that country that they're in. Granted, of course, they could start losing your national identity and have a different national identity than your own, or even the way that they see themselves, the way that they process the world around them. It's not uncommon for this to happen. And I know for some parents, it can be very strange. And even some parents I've spoken to have said that it was actually a bit difficult for them, that they spoke to their kids and they didn't necessarily feel American, British, whatever it was. I know even for one of my parents, having for me been abroad since actually quite a young age, they're like, okay, you are definitely not American. They take a step back and have a very surprised look on their face. There are certain things that I will admit, having been gone since a somewhat young age, that are foreign to me, having lived abroad, lived at least my entire adult life outside of the US. There's just certain things that for me, it's like things that maybe I might have to get done, or paperwork or whatever. And I was like, wait, hold on. You have to do that and you have to do that. You can't just go to this and get it done like that. There are little things that pop up. That's maybe not a cultural thing necessarily, at least that specific point. But even the way that you interact with the world and the way that you see things and the way that you speak or process things, I very often get caught up on my own words and have difficulty to even sometimes think of the word that I need to use in English. So I'll just start saying it in other languages, whatever language that word is that I have that association with, because it's easier for me to get it out. And it just so happens that with my parents, the languages kind of all in between are fine. So like I can speak in a way that's easier for me. And if you meet me in person, you may notice me getting hung up on words or trying to think of how to say something in English. But I would say this is also one of the trade-offs of moving abroad at a younger age, that there are certain associations with certain items, certain processes, certain foods, certain feelings and emotions that may become more natural from a quote-unquote foreign perspective. But also in this stage, this kind of latter stage where you're already kind of in your career and you're thinking about making a move abroad, mid-30s and beyond, we've talked about so far really the idea of moving with children. But if you are without children, then this is a completely different situation. If you're single, if you're married, if you're in a relationship, whatever it may be, there are going to be certain circumstances that, like I said, even though I'm focusing more on stages in a way, I think some of the circumstances are very important to mention here, because if you're on your own and you're single and also in a point in your career and life where you can either take time away from something or have enough flexibility to work remotely or fully electronically online, then hey, this puts you in a really unique position that if you are not connected enough to where you are and you're ready for a new adventure, then that is really another time in life where it could be really amazing to embrace a new adventure, because you will have certain abilities to do things and spend that somebody in their early 20s might not have. But again, that person in university might not have the ability to do all the extra traveling and adventuring that you might have. But again, you won't have had the same experiences and have made the same connections as that person has in their early 20s. It's going to be very different. And I would say also, if you are single and not interested in dating abroad, okay, this doesn't really change anything. But if you are single and dating abroad, then this can put you into a situation where maybe certain people might be less interested because you don't speak the language, or because you don't understand the culture, or because you're not a part of their group, whatever it may be. And I'm not specifically talking about one part of the world here, but there are many parts of the world, including even parts of Europe, where if you could be seen as the other, that it puts you at a not a disadvantage, even though that could be a word that you could use, it will put you in a position that might not necessarily be seen as attractive as maybe somebody who already has a certain cultural understanding of how certain things work in that particular location. But of course, there will be other people who will see that, for lack of a better word, exoticness, regardless of where you're from or going, as something really cool and really unique and maybe fun. But some people may see that as only fun. So this 35 plus stage of life that I'm kind of talking about here, you could bring it down to late 20s or early 30s, but I'm going to call this kind of that specific stage, getting a little bit later on, say 40s, 50s, when your children are teenagers. That's going to be the point where my opinion, like I mentioned before, is maybe not an ideal time to move abroad. There are going to be certain people that it really works for and can have an amazing experience, but I think you're introducing certain challenges, especially if your children are getting to the end of high school and they've made their friends and they've been looking forward to maybe going to college with those friends or their senior year with those friends. Not allowing for that to happen can create a major emotional hit. There are going to be some young people who definitely are ready to get out and go and do something else. But even for those people who are or were ready to get out and do something else, not being able to experience those very unique situations with their friends is also something that can be lost out on. And even from a cultural perspective, there are certain events in certain countries based on what age you're at what stage of high school or before you get started with school or whatever happens, that there are traditions, even if you don't think of them as traditions, that can happen that a person might look back on and say, oh, I didn't get to do that, or I didn't do that, or this or that. It's very individual, and it's not going to be something that you're going to know in the moment if they're going to think back on it and feel like they missed out on it or not. It's going to be something that you're going to have to feel out and decide for yourself based on your particular situation. So I might say, if you do have a teenager living in your household and have the ability to wait to maybe until after high school, I personally think that's the better choice. I'm not saying it's the right choice, the wrong choice, but for me personally, that would be, if I were looking at that stage and I did have the option to wait, like I said in the beginning of this episode, I think there are certain stages where you just don't have the option, where it is a now or never decision. But this is one of those where if you do have that option to wait, I think it could be worthwhile. And then at that stage, maybe they're already ready to move out and they're ready to be in their university, maybe even in the same country where you are, or maybe you move to country A and then they go to university in country B, but they're not so far from each other, so you can get to see each other. There are families that do that. This is not like unheard of. But I think though, even within this stage of life, that if you've already spent a certain amount of your life in your country, building up your life, building up your career, and you're on your way towards retirement and you haven't quite hit that age yet, there can be a value in waiting until you've hit that time where you can start collecting your pension. I'm not saying that you shouldn't move abroad again. I'm just saying that there is a value there not having to start, say, taking your from your Social Security early. Of course, the later that you can kind of leave that time for when you actually start getting your Social Security checks coming in, the more that you're theoretically supposed to be getting at the end of the month. So for some, that actually could be the difference if you take your retirement, your pension early, between being able to go to five-star restaurants every night,
or maybe even not being able to go at all to a place that's
less than zero stars. Okay, might not be that bad, but I'm joking around here, but I hope you get the point that I'm trying to make. That if you've already gone to a certain stage and you've already done enough and you've almost crossed the finish line, it could be worth it. Of course, the older that a person gets, the more difficult certain adventuring can be. Traveling, the older you get, of course, it doesn't get easier, but you can maybe enjoy some aspects of it more than you would have if you had been that 18, 19, 20-year-old who had moved abroad for university. But like I mentioned at the early part of this episode, there could be some people that might have that now or never feeling. And in some situations, that definitely could be true. But it's worthwhile also thinking about, is it now? Or maybe can I postpone it and there's a certain benefit to that? But of course, by postponing it, you're not getting the benefit of being there. So are you giving up one thing and gaining another? Or are you losing out on one thing and potentially losing out on another? Because maybe you've not set enough financial stability for yourself so that maybe if you don't have that certain level of financial stability, and I'm talking about even having emergency money so that if you need to, whatever, some emergency happens and you can't stay in the country that you've chosen, to be able to get back to your home country and have the option to be able to be there at least for a little bit, I think it is necessary. I haven't gone so much into that aspect of moving abroad, and I've spoken a lot about setting your expectations realistically, but I think that's one aspect that maybe I haven't gone into enough detail over the years, that you do need to have something behind you. I've mentioned it briefly, but there will be certain opportunities that could come across in your life that this is the right time and this will never happen again. Are you ready to seize the moment? Or are you willing to let it go and take a chance that maybe there's something better, or maybe it's not going to happen? For some people, that could work out, and for some people, it might not. You're going to have to weigh, of course, all of the options in front of you. I'm not here to give you the answers to the questions. I'm just here to give you some things to think about. So, of course, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And especially thank you to those of you who helped this project to be able to go on, like the monthly support through Patreon, as well as the one-time donations such as the thanks button here on YouTube. I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And I will see you all next time. Later.